Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here's your host, Adam Pfeiffer.
Welcome into the FTN DataCast. I am your host, subbing in for the great Adam Pfeiffer, Mike Randall. Follow me on X at Randall Rand. I'm Chief Content Officer here at FTN Fantasy. We bring you the information every week that you need, and week 12 is critical. We got 2 weeks left. We got the fantasy playoffs coming, and you need the insight here from the FTN DataCast, and that's what we're going to bring. I have 4 games here. Adam has outlined them on his incredible read option. We're going to take a look at 4 key games for Sunday. You already had Thanksgiving matchups. You had the Miami Jets game on Friday and Black Friday, and now we're going to give you 4 insights into Sunday's games that can help you in DFS and can help you in fantasy. But don't forget, we still have our Thanksgiving gravy sale. That's right, promo code GRAVY gets you 40% off any of the packages here at FTN Fantasy, Bets, or Daily. You won't want to miss it. So if you're listening to the FTN DataCast for the first time, make sure you hit that promo code GRAVY. Go and sign up. You won't be disappointed. The first game we're going to look at here is Jacksonville at Houston, a big matchup in the AFC South. This is Jacksonville favored by 1.5 on the road. The over-under is 48.5 points. What we're looking at here is Calvin Ridley, folks. Calvin Ridley has been better with Zay Jones, and that's exactly what Adam talks about here. When Calvin Ridley is on the field with Zay Jones, good things happen. There have been 3 full games where they played alongside each other for the Jaguars. Ridley has finished as the wide receiver 1, 6, and 9 in fantasy. Now, his routes are different in many of those games. The Jaguars are running more tight formations, which means Ridley simply isn't forced to win outside in the press man coverage where he has struggled this season. That what helps him. Zay Jones goes outside. He has more flexibility. So focus here on Calvin Ridley. Zay Jones is fine if you want to play him. Ridley is a low-end wide receiver too this week. Zay Jones is just a flex play if you want to go there. Meanwhile, Christian Kirk, he took a back seat last week. It was good to see him run around at 89% of his dropbacks with Jones back in the lineup, and he did lead the team with a 25% target share since week 2, so he has a solid floor each and every week. As far as running back, you know it's Travis Etienne. He had season lows in snap share, 65%, and a rush attempt share, 41% on Sunday. Those numbers were much higher before the fourth quarter, though, when he didn't play in a blowout. I would expect Etienne to get back to where he normally is. Trevor Lawrence finally showcased his upside against the Titans. We had waited for this all year, passing for 262 yards and 2 touchdowns, rushing for 2 more touchdowns. Jackson focused on getting Lawrence under center and rolling him out of the pocket in this game, which definitely made an impact. As has been the case all year long, Lawrence has been much better when he has not been under pressure. So the Texans pass rush, which has been pretty good this year, has the league's 8th highest pressure rate, 24.2, could cause problems for Trevor Lawrence. As far as tight end for Jacksonville, we're entering week 12 and there are still no touchdowns for Evan Engram. So frustrating this year, hasn't even had a target in the end zone through 11 weeks. He does have a strong matchup floor though, while running around at 86% of dropbacks, a top 3 rate among all tight ends. For Houston, CJ Stroud was on his way to another great game last week, but he slowed down with 336 yards, which was good, 2 touchdowns, which was good, but the 3 interceptions was bad. Still, Stroud has eclipsed his 300 passing yards in each of the last 3 games, and he's been great, especially throwing deep down the field. On the season, Stroud is completing 60.5% of his deep passes, which is second best among all quarterbacks, for 759 yards, which is the most, and 7 touchdowns, which is also the most. He faces a Jacksonville defense that has allowed the 5th most passing yards on deep passes this season at 652. You have this Jaguars defense, which is a pass funnel. It's tough to run on them, but they can give up big plays through the air, as you saw when Houston beat Jacksonville the first time. As far as running back, Damian Pierce could be back. Devin Singletary is a must start if Damian Pierce is not back. Devin Singletary has been a top 5 fantasy running back while getting the majority of touches in this backfield for the Texans. With Pierce out the last 3 games, Singletary has had 81% of the snaps and 84% of the Texans' rushing attempts. That's massive, including a healthy 23.3 touches per game during that time period. If Pierce is active, Singletary is more of a risky flex play. Pierce is out, Singletary is a must-start player. Tank Dell has been fantastic as the wide receiver for the Texans. The rookie has been dynamic. He caught 8 of 10 targets for 149 yards and a touchdown last week. The overall wide receiver won. He has 4 touchdowns and 106.3 yards per game over the last 3 weeks. He's got a strong rapport with Stroud. He's a solid wide receiver too, at least, with Nico Collins, who came back last week and had 7 catches for 65 yards on 11 targets. Collins is 5th in the league with 10 targets off post routes, making up 16% of his total targets this year. Collins and Dell are both top 20 fantasy wideouts for me this weekend in this matchup. And Dalton Schultz, the tight end, only saw three targets last week, but he did find the end zone, giving him five touchdowns since week four. It's possible those targets go down a little bit because Collins is back now, but if Houston's wide receivers remain healthy, he still should have a decent route participation, and he remains a borderline top 10 tight end in a shallow tight end position against the Jaguars. Next game we'll look at here is an intriguing one for fantasy. It's the Bucks at the Colts. You have Indianapolis as a home favorite by 2.5 points. Over-under is 43.5. We'll start with Tampa Bay. After four consecutive top three finishes, Baker Mayfield, he did go back down to QB22 last week, but he's been a pretty good QB2 for most of the season and should be solid here against the Colts. Against man coverage this year, Baker is completing 53.8% of his passes with about 5 adjusted net yards per attempt. Against zone coverage, he's completing 70.3% of his passes, which is pretty notable because the Colts are using zone coverage 73% of the time, which is the highest rate in the NFL this year. Baker has been really effective in cover three, which of course is a staple against this Gus Bradley-led Colts defense. For running back Rashad White, he may not be efficient, but he's certainly getting the volume. He's averaging 18.2 touches per game this year. He's also been on the field for 77.4% of the snaps, which is the fourth highest rate among all running backs. Think back to when Rashad White in those best ball drafts was in that RB dead zone. He's getting the volume and he's staying healthy. His usage in the passing game has been solid of late. He's second in the position in targets since week 7. He's had 27 targets since week 7, trailing only the Saints' Alvin Kamara. He could be busy in the passing game on Sunday because the Colts' defensive philosophy is limiting those explosive plays and allowing stuff to happen in front of them. So you could see a big day here for Rashad White against the Colts. For wide receiver, Mike Evans found the end zone again, giving him a touchdown in 4 of his last 5 outings. He's the wide receiver one in Tampa Bay. He has a 24% target share, and he has accounted for 40.7% of the team's air yards, one of the highest rates in the league among all wide receivers. On the season, 8 different receivers has finished the top 28 fantasy options against the Colts. 6 have finished inside the top 20. They've allowed 4 100-yard games this season, and Evans' target share is down about 13% against zone coverage this year, but he should still be a top 12 wide receiver in this spot on the road against Indianapolis. Chris Godwin is really a floor play. He has at least 6 targets in every game this year, but has only broken 77 receiving yards once and scored just 1 touchdown. He's on pace to finish with less than 1,000 yards, and he's really just a high-end wide receiver 3 most weeks. Finally, a tight end. Cade Otton is a viable streaming tight end this week. He continues to play a ton. He's logged over 96% of the snaps, running around on 86% of dropbacks, which is one of the highest rates in the league. The Colts have been about league average matchup for tight end, but you can certainly start Cade Otton in a pinch this week in week 12. For the Colts at quarterback, if you want a replacement for Joe Burrow, take a look at Gardner Minshew. He's been pretty boom or bust as a fantasy signal caller this year, but the matchup is as good as gets against Tampa Bay. After giving up 300 yards and 3 touchdowns to Brock Purdy last week, Tampa Bay has allowed a top 2 fantasy quarterback in 3 of the last 4 games. Their pass defense is reeling. Tampa Bay ranks 32nd in EPA per dropback and 30th in dropback success rate on defense since week 7. On the year, Tampa Bay is allowing the second most yards per pass attempt, 8.0 yards, and against the blitz, Minshew is completing just over 60% of his passes with 4 touchdowns. Of course, Tampa Bay blitzes at the second highest rate in the league, so Minshew is a streaming candidate, which makes him an elite value, high ceiling, high floor for DFS. At running back, Jonathan Taylor has taken over this backfield for the Colts. In the game against the Patriots, he had season highs in snap share, 89%, and rush share, 88%. Zach Moss only played 70% of the snaps and 14% of the rush attempts over the last 2 weeks. So Taylor is pretty much locked in as a top 10 fantasy running back each and every week, which we've been waiting for. This could be a big game for wide receiver Michael Pittman. He has strong production with Minshew under center. He's averaging 10.3 targets, 7.2 receptions, and 73.6 fantasy yards, as well as 16.6 PPR points per game in the games with Minshew under center. Pittman has 7 double-digit targets in 6 of the 10 games during the season, and he has a great matchup on Sunday. Tampa Bay is allowing 80.3 receiving yards to opposing top wideouts. That's 9th most, and they were just crushed by Brandon Ayuk, 5 for 156 and 1 last week. Pittman has this massive 33.9% target share against the blitz, 6th highest rate in the NFL, while the Bucs blitz at the 2nd highest rate in football. Opposing wide receivers have destroyed Tampa Bay, which is a huge smash spot now for Pittman here. When we last saw Josh Downs in Week 10, he was working through an injury that limited to just 43% of the routes and 25% of the snaps. He should be able to return to full-time this weekend, and as he does at home against this Tampa Bay pass-funnel defense, he should have a solid, solid matchup. Third game we're looking at here, Pittsburgh on the road at Cincinnati. No Joe Burrow. Of course, Pittsburgh -1, the slight favorite. Over-under is 35 total points. For the Steelers, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Matt Canada out and Kenny Pickett now. Can he step forward and become the player that we thought we saw in the preseason? He has just one touchdown over his last five games, and he's averaging just 0.32 fantasy points per dropback, which is 30th among quarterbacks. The Bengals, however, have been pretty good against allowing explosive plays to opposing quarterbacks. They're surrendering 6.1 yards per play, which is the second most in the NFL. With no teams on bye in Week 12, it's unlikely you have to rely with Pickett, but you have him in two quarterback leagues. I think you should be confident with him this week. Jaylen Warren has continued his stellar season, the most efficient running back in fantasy, 129 yards and a touchdown on just 9 carries against that elite Cleveland defense. He's led the league in avoided tackles per attempt at 0.41. He's fifth in runs of 10-plus yards, 18, and second in runs of 15-plus yards, 9, despite ranking just 41st in the league in carries. Talk about efficiency. He's still the RB2 on the Steelers in terms of usage, falling behind Najee Harris, but he's been able to be productive. This could be a game that both Harris and Warren are able to give you solid fantasy production. As far as wide receivers, we have to take a guess at how we think the new offense is going to be. George Pickens could finally be unleashed. Just 14% of the passes have gone to the middle of the field under Matt Canada, which is the second lowest rate in the league. With George Pickens finally getting off the sideline, maybe he can get some passes over the middle field and really break some long runs like he did against Cleveland earlier in the year, one of the few times we saw Pickens go over the middle of the field. Over the last 4 weeks, Steelers have the league's fifth highest neutral script rush rate, which is 49.1%, which is translated to Deontay Johnson only catching 3 passes for 33 yards over the last 2 games. This profiles as a heavy rush game for Pittsburgh, so I don't know how the receivers are going to do, but of course you have to be careful here. If you have Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, you may be forced to play them depending on who your other players are with injuries. As far as tight end, Pat Freiermuth returned from a hamstring injury on Sunday. He was limited, though. He played only 53.4% of the snaps last week and ran a route on 39% of the dropbacks. This is one of the best matchups in fantasy, so if he can return to his usual role, Freiermuth could be back as a top 10 fantasy tight end here. Cincinnati is allowing the fifth most fantasy points, 14.4, and sixth most receptions, 5.8, as well as third most receiving yards, 63.5, to opposing tight ends this season. For the Bengals, it's Jake Browning's turn to shine. He didn't look badly last week on Thursday. The entire offense obviously takes a big hit with the big plays, but Browning does have weapons to work with. First off is Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins is going to be out in this game, so Chase again should get big volume. However, he's going to face Joey Porter, who has really come on here as a solid draft pick for the Steelers. He's playing more in shadow coverage, could be limiting Chase. So you're going to play Chase, of course, but you may want to limit expectations with Porter playing so well. As far as running back, Joe Mixon has looked pretty good in 3 of his last 4 games, and he's found the end zone in each of his last 4 games, but the Bengals offense is not going to move as much. He's averaging 18.4 touches per game, which is great, logging 73% of the snaps and handling 8% of the team rushing attempts. Tight end Tanner Hudson has been involved of late, hauling in 14 passes over the last 3 weeks. However, I think you understand that you can find better at the tight end position. And our last game we'll take a look at here is the big old rivalry in the NFC South between the Saints and the Falcons. Saints favored by 1 on the road, over under of 42.5. Derek Carr remains in concussion protocol, but he is hoping to clear, and if he does, he should have a solid chance here to perform. He has Chris Olave, of course, who should be a must-start receiver if Carr is playing. If it's Winston, Olave drops a little bit, but is still a borderline top 10 wideout. Olave was doing nothing in Week 10, but once Winston came in the game, he went 5 of 8 on his targets for 80 yards and a touchdown. So Winston in Week 10, and while Carr is still a very good quarterback, Winston gives Olave more consistent opportunities for big plays. If Carr is healthy and he can take those shots down the field, there are opportunities to be had against this Atlanta defense. But if Carr starts but it's limited, then you're going to wish Winston was in there. A solid 26% target share already. Olave should continue to see 8 to 12 targets with Michael Thomas out. So the question is, Are they going to take deep shots with the quarterback against this Falcons defense? Atlanta is deploying man coverage 37% of the time, which is a top three rate in the league. And while he is posting a 31% target share against man coverage this year and 1.88 fantasy points per target against that defense, you are starting Olave. But what you want is a quarterback who can take shots, which may mean you want Jameis Winston. Rashid Shaheed saw a 22% target share with Thomas out. That was his highest rate in a game last season in their last matchup. He ran around on 81% of his dropbacks and saw 9 targets. He is a borderline wide receiver 3 this week, and potentially for the next 4 weeks with Thomas still out, he could be a big play here as a wide receiver 3. For running back, Alvin Kamara got up to 74% of the snaps and 64% of the team rushing attempts in week 10. Saints fell behind early. He carried the ball 9 times, but he made up for it by catching all 7 of his targets. Kamara leads all running backs with a 21% target share on the season while seeing either a carry or a target on 35% of his snaps, which is the 6th highest rate in the league. At tight end, you're going to play Taysom Hill because he's a top 10 fantasy tight end. He has at least 4 targets in 4 of his last 5 games. He's averaged 5.4 rushing attempts during that span, and since week 6, Hill has 4 carries from inside the 5-yard line. He won't run more routes than Juwan Johnson, but he sees so many high-value touches with so much touchdown upside. That is a huge, huge advantage for anyone who is playing him at the tight end position for Atlanta. We are going back to Desmond Ridder for this week and the rest of the season for Atlanta. In his full starts, weeks 1-7, Ridder averaged just over 17 fantasy points per game and 0.43 fantasy points per dropback. We have seen him rush for about 17 yards per game while scoring the 4 rushing touchdowns. He faces a man-heavy Saints defense that is allowing the 4th most rushing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks on the year, which is 28.7. Not a huge ceiling, but you could do a lot worse in 2 quarterback leagues in a matchup here where you know he has weapons. As far as wide receiver, this is a tough matchup for Drake London. He's a boom or bust wide receiver 3 for us this week. New Orleans allowing just 48.2% receiving yards to opposing number 1 wideouts, the 2nd fewest in the league. He does have a 29% target share against man coverage this season, but he ranks just 52nd among qualified wide receivers in yards per route run. London has upside, but the floor could be frightening low here, depending on the health of the Saints' secondary. At running back, the quarterback change could be good for Bijan Robinson in Ridder's 7 full starts this year. Running backs have accounted for a healthy 23.8% of Atlanta's targets, and he doesn't throw the ball downfield as much as Taylor Heinicke does. Prior to the bye week, Robinson had a season high for touches in a game with 23 while scoring a touchdown from inside the 10-yard line, which was awesome to see. Hopefully he holds that role. There's still a chance that Tyler Allgeier takes goal line work, but right now Robinson should see an increase in the passing game. May want to look at his props too, receiving props with Desmond Ridder under center. As far as the tight ends, on the season, Atlanta has targeted the position a league-high 35.5% of the time. If we could take Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith and make them one tight end, you'd have a top 5 fantasy tight end. But as it stands, Pitts is a low-end tight end 1, while Smith is a mid-range tight end 2. Those are your 4 games for the week here at the FTN DataCast. I am Mike Randall, Chief Content Officer. Follow me on X at RandallRant. And remember, use that promo code GRAVY to get 40% off FTN Fantasy, Bets, Daily, whatever you want. Adam Pfeiffer will be back next week on the DataCast. Make sure you check out his read option, which is phenomenal. He got you through Thanksgiving and Black Friday, and he will get you through to Cyber Monday. Again, thanks for joining us here at the FTN DataCast. We will be back next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN DataCast with Adam Pfeiffer. Be sure to follow your host on Twitter at apfeiffer24. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And we'll see you next time on the FTN DataCast, where data drives the discussion.